God has a purpose for every person in this world and every person in this church. And when we say, I don't like those people because they're a different color or they come from a different country, then we are saying, I don't like God's creation. Being MLK Day, I realize there are a lot of people that are celebrating in a lot of different ways. I saw that there was a Martin Luther King breakfast going on, and there's some marches going on and some things that are going on in the world. And I thought, you know, the church really needs to be involved in this. And how do we do that? You see, long before Martin Luther King had his dream, God had that dream first. As a matter of fact, I will say if Martin Luther King was here today, he would tell you that his dream came from God. And one of the things that, if you look at your lesson notes, you'll see I've got God's grace for every race. And the reason why I've got that is because Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 that was read to you just a moment ago, it says that the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Underline those words. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. You see, the dream is God's idea. From the very beginning of time, God wanted mankind to have a good relationship with Him and a good relationship with others. And I've said this before, if your relationship with God is good and your relationship with others is good, then you are a success. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. The goal of this life is to have the right relationship with God and the right relationship with others. One of the things that we do, we partake of communion each week, and we partake of that communion, we are to examine ourselves. And one of the things that we need to do when we examine ourselves is to ask God to show us if we're in the wrong relationship with someone. And I can guarantee you, if you're sincere about it, God will tell you what relationships you need to work on. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, 19 through 7 says, now let the fear of the Lord be on you. He's talking about these are things that God hates. This is something that God wants you to recognize in your life. He says, let the fear of the Lord be on you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God, there is no injustice, no partiality, no bribery. And I think all of us know what bribery is. You know, you pay somebody off to tell a lie for you. You pay somebody off to get something done. And we all know what injustice is, and that's when somebody's been judged wrongly or accused wrongly of something. But this idea of partiality, it basically boils down to this. It's prejudging others and putting others in a group. That's partiality. And I was thinking this idea of racial equality and racism and things that are going on in the world today. And I was thinking about the fact, where are most people? Because I think there's different categories that we need to deal with today. You see, there's the basic category of racism. It's a racist person, and that's someone who absolutely hates someone else because of their race or their ethnicity. And that's, you know, we all know that that's wrong. You're not supposed to hate others. And I hope there and pray there's no one in the audience listening today that has that opinion. But I'm going to tell you this. I grew up in the South. And I remember a man telling me, and I was a teenager and he was an adult, and he told me, and to this day it haunts me for him, that if there were going to be black people in heaven, he didn't want to go. And I quickly thought in my head, well, you're not going to be there then. That's racism. But there's another, there's the bigots. And these are the people that stereotype people because of their race. Bigots are probably a lot more common than the racists who hate others, but they just stereotype. And they stereotype to the point that they just think all of this race is this way. And it's done in humorous ways, it's done in different ways, but that is so wrong. And then there's another group of people, and there's a little bit more people, I think, that's in this group, and they are the avoiders. They're not stereotyping other people. They're not hating other people, but they will avoid somebody that doesn't look like them and doesn't act like them. I've seen it happen a lot of times. And I don't think it's just one group of people that do this. I think there is more than one group of people that do this. They will avoid people because of the color of their skin. And then there's another group of people, and this is the one that I think that a lot of people don't recognize, and these are the insensitive people. And these are people that are insensitive to the hurts of other people. And those people, sometimes they don't really mean to be insensitive. It's just the way they are. And one of the things that I've tried to do when I deal with people who are of a different ethnicity than me, I try to tell them, look, if I say something or I do something that's insensitive or that hurts you, I want to know because I don't want to be insensitive. And a lot of times I've heard people say things like, well, you know, that really kind of hurt me. And people will say, well, it shouldn't. If your wife says that really hurts you, and you say, well, it shouldn't, you're probably going to be sleeping on the couch that night. You see, I don't get to determine what hurts other people, and you don't get to determine what hurts me. And if we're going to be in the right relationship with each other, we've got to understand other people's hurts. And this is the one that bothers me the most about Christians when it comes to the division that is going on in the church and in the world today as far as racism goes. And those are the people that are apathetic. They don't care one way or another. Don't bother me with that, is their attitude. But you see, we as Christians, we have to be different. God calls us to be different. He calls us to be the kind of people that are kind and sensitive to what other people are going through. And no matter who you are in this church, God calls you because He said, Jesus, one of His very first sermons says, blessed are the peacemakers because they will be called children of God. And He says that because as a church, we should be reconciling relationships out in the world. You see, we can't legislate racism. But as a church, we can show the world that we care about each other and we want no partiality for anyone. Well, for those that don't understand why God hates racial prejudice, I've got some points here I want you to look at. Letter A is prejudice questions God's creation. If you're prejudiced, you're basically questioning God's creation. God created every person on this earth, and He created every person on this earth with a purpose. And that purpose is God ordained. Now, whether or not we fulfill that purpose, that's up to us. But God has a purpose for every person in this world and every person in this church. And when we say, I don't like those people because they're a different color or they come from a different country, then we are saying, I don't like God's creation. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. From one person God made all nations who live on earth. And he decided when and where every nation would be. It is so narcissistic to think that we are better than other people. And the reason why I say that is because of so many of us were born with no, well, all of us were born with no decision as to where we were born and who our parents were. We didn't do anything to decide that. I remember being in Haiti and watching the extreme poverty that goes on in Haiti and the things that those folks down there have to deal with. And I remember thinking that there, but by the grace of God, I could have been born there. And there's nothing that I have done, there is nothing that I have accomplished in my life that God has created me that I can say that I am better than other people. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, what is so special about you? What do you have that you were not given? And if it was given to you, how can you brag? I have friends from Texas. I don't know if you know anybody from Texas, but I got to tell you, people from Texas are proud to be from Texas. And if you're here today and you were born from Texas, God bless you. But you didn't do anything to be born from Texas. Now, if you were born in South Carolina, that's a different story. You see, we can't brag about where we're from or what our background is. One of the things that my father does is he went through our family lineage to find out who great-grandfathers were and all that. And he went through all of that, and he was showing me some of the people that we're kin to down the line that were famous people or that did really cool things. But what interests me most is that his grandfather was a newspaper man. And I don't mean to brag about this, but the newspaper that he published was called The Hustler. And that was before there was a hustler. But the other side of that is that he published this countywide newspaper and evidently made some money off of it, did real good. I got to see a copy of it that was in a museum. I got to see a copy of it. And it was kind of cool to see great-great-grandfather publish this paper, that kind of thing. But the funny thing about it all is that his brother was the guy in town that ran all the moonshine. I can't write, so but for the grace of God, I'd be selling moonshine right now. You see what I'm saying? We can't brag about where we're from. The second thing that I want you to note here is prejudice is a sign of ignorance. If you're prejudiced, it's a sign of ignorance. And it doesn't matter whether you're insensitive, it doesn't matter whether you're an avoider, or it's just matter if you just don't even care. If you're that way about what's going on in the world, and I know sometimes there's so much going on in the world, it's hard to care about everything. But as a Christian, we need to care about division in the world. And one of the things it says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11, but anyone who hates his brother or sister is in darkness and walks around in darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. If we hate our brother and sister because of where they're from or their skin color, then we walk around in darkness. Goes on to say in James chapter 3, verse 7, but the wisdom comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, underline that word, impartial, and sincere. You see, wisdom from above is not book knowledge. There are people that I know, I've got a cousin who can read a page and then almost recite it word for word what it says. I hated him. He clept out. He came to college a year after I did, and by the time he finished clepping out of all the classes that he clept out of, he was ahead of me in terms of getting his degree. I was already a year behind him, and he hadn't even been in college yet. Brilliant guy. But I'm here to tell you, you can have all the degrees in the world and not have wisdom. As a matter of fact, you can have so many degrees behind your name, they can call you Dr. Fahrenheit. But it doesn't give you wisdom. Wisdom that's from God. Look at what it says here. Pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Letter C, prejudice denies the great command. Prejudice denies the great command. When Jesus was trying to sum up all of the things that you need to do, when he was summing that up for that rich man, he says, the first commandment is this, is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and strength. And then the second is like it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And the guy asks, well, who's my neighbor? And he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And those of you who know that story, it was the religious leaders that walked right on by. But the Samaritan, who was hated by the Jews, did the right thing. And I'm here to tell you that if the world tells us we need to hate a group of people, we need to be mad at a group of people, and it doesn't matter whether it's Hispanic people or Asian people or black people, it does not matter who the world is telling us we need to hate. We need to understand that when we hate somebody or we don't go after somebody in a relationship, we are denying the great command. Look at what it says here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. That all that the law says can be summed up in this, in the command to love others as much as you love yourself. But if you keep on attacking each other like wild animals, you had better watch out, or you will be destroyed or destroy yourselves. And I can see that happening in the world today, where we are letting racism destroy this country. Letter D, and I want you to get this. Prejudice is a sin. Prejudice is a sin. And you can say, well, I'm not prejudiced, but I just don't want to hang out with a certain group of people. Or I just don't care what they're dealing with. I'm telling you, that is a sin. Look at what it says here. James chapter 2 and verse 9. If you treat people according to their outward appearance, you are guilty of a sin, and God's law condemns you as a lawbreaker. You see, I've got it in here. Racism is not about skin. It is about sin. And I think one of the most prolific sins in the world today is racism. You can go to any country in the world and find racism. It will be one group of people that look like another group of people, but because they're part of this tribe, they hate them and they hate them. I don't understand why people hate each other. This is so foreign to anything that I believe or anything that I think. But I know that it goes on in the world. And we need to recognize it. We need to call it out as sin. It says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, so why do you judge your brother in Christ? Why do you think that you are better than he is? We will all stand before God, and he will judge us all. This sermon is based on what happened on a Wednesday night class that we had with Jared LeSueur and David Love, and I told David today that this came about, this sermon came about because of something happened back then. And one of the things that I was questioning, because I just really wanted to make sure I was not racist. And I kept questioning in my mind, how do you know if you're racist? Because I've known people who are racist and they don't even think they're racist. And so how do I know if I'm racist or not? And I love the people who say, well, I've got a black friend, so I can't be racist. That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Here's what I've got biblical truth for you today for you to look at and decide whether or not you're racist. Number one is, do I see others as God does? Do I look at others as God does? Because when I look at others, I need to see them as children of God, somebody that God created for a relationship with me and for a relationship with Him. And when I start seeing the world that way, I'm going to see things differently. And when I start recognizing that some people are spiritually dead, when I see somebody that's spiritually dead, I don't hate them because they're spiritually dead. I love them even more because I know that Christ died for that person. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, recently I had dinner last Thursday night with two of our members, new members. And the reason why I had dinner with them is because I wanted to know their heart. I knew what they looked like. I even knew their names. I even knew their kids' names. But I wanted to spend time with them because I wanted to know their heart and I wanted to know where they're coming from. John chapter 7, verse 24, stop judging by mere appearance, but instead judge correctly. Even Peter struggled with this. Peter was struggling with the sin of prejudice because he did not want to be around the Jews. And God had to do some crazy things. And I'm going to ask you to read that later because we don't have time to go into it all right now. But Peter says these words in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 35. Then Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is. God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the ones who fear Him and does what is right. Second thing that I need to know if I'm racist or not is I need to know, do I listen to others with respect? Do I listen to others with respect? James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. And I want you to just take that verse right there and start letting it permeate in your heart. Because we need to be the kind of people that are really slow to speak, especially when it comes to racial tensions. I had a couple sitting in front of me at Cracker Barrel, and they were blasting me over some of the stuff that has happened at the church. Some of it was perceived and some of it was real. And they were blasting me about it, even though I had nothing to do with it. As they're blasting me about it, I would just stop and listen. And I would say these words, and you can write this in your sermon notes. If you've got somebody that is really angry, just say, tell me more. Write those words down. Those are great words. Tell me more. You see, what I was doing, I wasn't listening to the hate that was in their voice. I was listening to the hurt that was in their voice. And so many times when people get angry, it's because they're hurt or because they're scared or something traumatic has happened to them. And we need to listen for the hurt and not the hate. Because we as Christians are to be reconciliators to the world. And we can do that by listening to others with respect. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 says, show proper respect to everyone. Underline those words, show proper respect to everyone. And that is so hard, folks. That is so hard. You know, it's really easy to show respect for people that are sometimes smarter than you. You know, there's some people that it's easy to show respect to because of their position. But it's not always easy to show respect to everybody you come in contact. You know, there are some people in my life that do some really dumb things. And eventually, my human self gets frustrated with their stupidity. But the Bible says, show respect to only people who make smart moves. If that was the case, none of you would get respect. Because you've all done something dumb in your life. And if I don't know about it, I'm sure I could find out by talking to somebody that knows you real well. It says, show respect to everyone. If you're truly not racist, you're going to show respect to everyone. Number three, do I love others the way Jesus does? Do I love others the way Jesus does? And I know we come from different backgrounds, and I know where you're born. One of our best friends are people from New York, and I come from South Carolina. I know when they met me, they must have thought that I sounded like a hick. And I thought they sounded like Northerners. And the point being here is if you just judge on people from their culture and their background, and they grew up with snow, I'm living here in Florida. We're just totally different people, but when we show each other respect, when we love each other as Jesus does, any cultural, any racial, any ethnic background can be overcome. John chapter 15 and verse 12 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Wow. If we could conquer that, this church would be on fire. James chapter 2, and I've got verses 1 and 8 because I want to put them together. It says, as believers in our Lord Jesus, you must never treat people in different ways because of their outward appearance. You will be doing the right thing if you obey the law of the kingdom, which is love your neighbor as yourself. On the very back page, I got three things that I want you to remember. Number one, God's church is His plan to bring people together. God's church is His plan to bring people together. This plan is not for us to be segregated into different churches. His plan is for us to be together in the kingdom. Look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and then all the way down, or verse 13, and then all the way down in verse 27. For we were all baptized by one Spirit. Underline that, one Spirit. And as to form one body, underline one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now look at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It does not matter where you came from. It does not matter what your education level is. It does not matter who your mom or dad is. You are a part of the body of Christ. And never forget that. Just because I am your preacher does not make me any more or less of the body of Christ. And just because you're an elder, it doesn't make you any more or less of the body of Christ. And if you're just coming and you're just being a part of things and you're not in a leadership role and you haven't figured out your ministry yet, guess what? You're still a part of the body of Christ. And we need to keep that in mind when we deal with each other and when we think about ourselves. I've also got Galatians 3, 26 through 28, but I knew I'd run out of time, so we're going to just give that to you. You can go home and look it up. The second thing is I find my identity in Christ and His family. I find my identity in Christ and His family. I don't find my identity in my ethnicity. I just brushed my teeth, can't do a thing with them. I don't find it in that. I don't find my identity in where I'm from. I find my identity in Jesus Christ and His family. And when we start looking at ourselves as being a part of God's family and being a part of Jesus Christ, when we call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, then we have the right identity. Look at what it says here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. In this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters, and He is equal, available to all. I want you to underline whether a person has Christ is what matters, because that is where your identity is found. And the point number three here is communion models our unity. Communion models our unity. I grew up going to church my entire life. My dad was a preacher, for those of you who don't know, and as one of my friends called it, I was born and bred in the church. And I remember from being a little kid, and my dad was a great preacher. I guess he still is, but he just doesn't preach as much anymore. He was a good speaker, had lots of biblical knowledge, but as a kid, I wanted to sleep during church. Now, some of you as adults want to sleep during church. It's okay. But I just remember going through service after service, and I would try to lean on my mom. You know how when you're a kid and you lean on your mom, she's got that soft shoulder and you can lean on her a little bit. And I'd try to lean on her, and she'd let me at first. And then she'd feel me going to sleep, and then she'd pinch the stew out of me. Man, that was a mean woman. But I remember watching every Sunday people lead communion. And it wasn't until I was older that I discovered that communion was our way of being unified together as one body, partaking of the emblems that represent the blood and body of Jesus Christ. It's one of those most fascinating things to me. It's a mystery to me that how God came up with this concept that me as an individual would be sitting down here and be partaking of communion, and then the rest of the church would be doing the same thing that I'm doing, and somehow that unifies us as we remember the Lord's suffering, death, but most importantly, His resurrection. And knowing that it's through His blood I can receive salvation. I don't know if I really gave you what you need today. I tried through the scriptures, but what you really need, a lot of us really need, is a heart transplant. Bob Ray was telling me, well, I guess it was Chris told me, that today Bob is celebrating 5 years after his major heart attack. Today is that anniversary. That's not an anniversary I want, by the way, Bob. But he looks great, and he's doing great, and if you ever get a chance to hear him talk about his heart and what happened to him and all that, it's a fascinating story, scary story, but he's doing great now. But I know a lot of us, you know, we need to have our hearts broken. We need to have a change of heart towards those in the church and those outside of the church. We need to step back from what we've always done and consider whether or not we're living up to God's standards. And today, as we sing this invitation, my question for you is this: are you living up to God's standards? And if not, why not? The Lord's invitation is always open. And if there's some way we can serve you today, please come as we stand and sing.